If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me tonight. First to the book of Psalms, the 98th division. And then to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Psalms 98:1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your power, for your grace. We ask, God, that you would minister to us tonight and help us, God, to move into your presence. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, hey, folks are leaving fast. I don't know why, but I've noticed a dwindling of the crowd. Every time I look up, somebody else is going out the door. I got to hurry up and preach before I lose the rest of you. Glory. Smile. Some of y'all going, huh? Amen. I want to talk to you tonight. Listen, we live in a world where we ought to be living victoriously. I believe God's entire thing for people is for us to live in victory. Oh, Lord. There goes another. He even waved. Glory. We should live in victory. And most of us actually believe we can live up here. Problem is, we keep hitting down here somewhere, and some of us keep crashing. Hello? I talked to you this morning about being an overcomer and how to overcome some things and how to have victory even in failure. And I decided tonight I'd come back and hit you with another one. 7 steps to true victory. I think these are things we can put in our life to make us overcomers, to give us victory, to give us power, and to give us glory. Amen. I went back and done something I used to do a lot when I was evangelizing. I made an acrostic of the word victory. Those of you what that is, I just put the word down, slid it down through here, and started writing points out on each one of them. Amen. Now, that's just for those that don't know what an acrostic is. Amen. The acrostic of the book of the word victory, amen, each one of these points are going to give you a letter out of that word. And listen to what it tells us. First of all, we should be vigilant. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Amen. You know, church, we got a lot of folks that take that verse of scripture and they won't wear you out about the devil going to chew on you, going to wear you out and gnaw on you. Listen, if you're not edible, he ain't eating you. He's looking for those that he may devour. I want to give you, if you really get close enough to God, you're vigilant in your relationship with God, there's a no eating sign around you. It's called the angels of the Lord encampeth round about those who love him and keep his commandments. And let's face it, if he bites, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on, church. Amen. I'm a firm believer if I get hot enough, he's not going to gnaw on me for fear it'll burn his mouth. Hello? Amen. I remember there was a dog one time stole a fella's steak that we were cooking. We were cooking 2 steaks and the dog got his. I know because mine was still on the grill. Just to be sure, that's mine. Man. And that dog grabbed that steak off that grill and it dropped it. And he'd grab it again, drop. Finally, it got over and got to rolling in the dirt, trying to rub its mouth, trying to make it quit burning where it burned itself on that hot steak. And he got out there and got so upset about it, I actually picked the steak up and threw it at the dog and it ran from it. Glory. Because it was afraid of that steak because it was so hot. Amen. Now, church, I just be honest with you. I think you can get that hot in Jesus. That you can get the power of God moving in you so much that when Satan comes by, he's going to feel the heat and go, I'm moving on to the next house. I'm not stopping here. I'm not fooling with him. Come on, church. Amen. So that kind of messes up that theology. The closer I get to God, the more the devil wants me. That's not true. The closer I get to God, the better chance there is that I'm not going to get caught by the things of the devil. Could you say amen? Come on, church. Real victory comes from vigilance, Romans chapter 13. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Hello? What did he say? He said, sell out to God. Quit worrying about yourself. Because if you get rid of the flesh, God begins to dominate. When God begins to dominate, then you don't have to wear a bracelet. What would Jesus do? Your mind starts thinking about what Jesus would do. Come on, church. Amen. I think one of the greatest problems we got in the church world is stinking thinking. We meditate on junk and then can't figure out why all we get is junk. Glory. Come on, church. I don't know if you understand it or not, but you are what you ingest. We have people living in fear because all they do is watch fear movies. You know, we got folks today that believe in vampires and zombies. You aren't watching movies, you'd never know they existed because they don't exist except in movies. We got people reading mythology, and they'll read that mythology, and it'll mess up their mind because they don't understand the word myth means mythical. It means it's made up. It doesn't exist. And they'll read mythology, and they'll start saying, oh, yeah, I believe. I believe in Thor. I had two guys got in an argument the other day because they were arguing over who could touch Thor's hammer. And I'm like, it don't exist. Why worry? Glory. Hello? And I'm telling these are guys I thought had intelligence, and they're sitting there fussing over who could touch Thor's hammer, and I'm like, who cares? If there's no such thing as Thor's hammer, who cares who touched it? Glory. Come on, church. But we sit and we dwell on these things. We got people that actually read romance manuals and get mad at the husband or wife because they ain't as romantic as the people in them books. And there's family problems. I've had people go to counseling because their husband couldn't talk to them like some guy did on a TV show. My wife's shaking her head because she knows where I'm going with this. She got into me one time. Why don't you ever talk romantic to me? I said, baby, I ain't got a writer like that dude on that TV show's got. I'm kind of winging it on my own. I left her a note one time. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm glad I caught somebody like you. And she didn't think that was romantic enough. Glory. And she just kept on. To one night I come in and I have some books back in my library called Great Works of the Western World. And there's some writings in there by Shakespeare. And I got Shakespeare and I read a little of it. And I walked in there and I slammed the door and flipped the light on in the middle of the night. She said, what? And I said, what light breaks through yon window? It is the east and thou art the sun. Glory. Did not help her at all. Glory. But church, listen, real victory comes by putting the right stuff inside. If we concentrate on God and we concentrate on his grace and we concentrate on his love, then we put God in us. And if we're vigilant at what we do, we have victory. Could you say amen? Don't feed the lion your flesh. He's looking for somebody to eat. Don't be edible. Number two. Imagine the consequences. You know, church, if you'd sit and think about what was going to happen when you do what you do, you might be less likely to do what you're about to do. Come on, church. Listen, Ecclesiastes said, because sentence against the evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though the sinner do evil 100 times in his day he prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with him that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well for the wicked, neither shall he prolong the day, which are as the shadow, because he feareth not before God. The fear talked about here is the fear of the Lord. It's not a bad fear. This is the kind of fear that's a healthy fear that said, hey, wait a minute. I'm not doing that because if I do that, it's going to mess up my relationship with God, and it ain't worth it. Could you say amen? Come on, church. Listen, 1 Timothy 5:24. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, some people need to understand we control ourselves so we don't commit sin. Any of y'all ever read the story of Joseph? You ever notice what Joseph did when he considered the consequence of sin? He said, how can I sin against God? I mean, I've not got to worry about my daddy or my brothers. None of them are around. Don't have to worry about Jews. Don't see one in sight. But I've got a God who's here, and if I mess up, he's going to know it. And I do not want to do anything that will get me out of the presence and the power of all my Almighty God. And church, that's where we've got to imagine what the consequences are and realize the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Him. Could you say amen? Listen, be careful for nothing. What Philippians says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen. What does it say? You don't have to worry if you think about God. Y'all understand worry is the mother of sin. Worry will tear your health down. Worry will kill you. Stress is the number one killer in America. What is stress? It's a form of worry. And you know what Paul said? He said, don't worry. Now, let's face it, church, when he wrote these words, he was in a hole in the ground waiting on sharpening the guillotine for him to cut his head off. If anybody had a right to worry, this dude had a right to worry. But he turned around and said, don't worry. Hello? The book of Daniel, chapter 3, said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know what they said? We're not worried about what we got to say. You know why? Because they said, we made up our answer before we ever got to the place the question was asked. Can I tell you what's wrong with some of us? We ain't made the answers up yet. We're running along in life, and the devil's standing there going, let me ask them a question. And the next thing you know, you got to come up with an answer. And if you got the answer already made, then you're like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, bow down or you're going to burn. They said, King, we ain't even got to think about it. We're not the least bit worried about what our answer's going to be because we've already decided. And the Bible said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king and said, you know what it did? They already had one elected to talk, or all three of them talked at the same time, said, our God, whom we serve, is going to take care of us in the fire, but if it don't, we going in the fire anyway because we ain't bowing down. Honey, can I tell you, if we'll get to that place where we quit worrying about things in this world and just make up our mind, I'm serving Him, I'm following Him, my God is able. My dad always said 90% of what you worry about ain't never going to happen. The 10% it does, you couldn't do anything about it, so why worry? It's going to happen. Hello? Do you realize how much crazier I would be if I worried all the time? Huh? I mean, if every time I had a pain, I whined about it, started worrying what it was, I'd be a crazy man. I'm serious. I get up in the morning and I have Rice Krispies before I ever get in the hall good because it's snap, crackle, and pop. And I ain't made it to the kitchen. It's just my feet and legs. And if I worried about whether or not I was going to be able to walk tomorrow, I'd go crazy. I'm worried about that. And I can remember when the doctor told me, and I never, the other night I was preaching, and the pastor's known me for years, and he was a friend of mine when they told me I had to quit preaching because I couldn't keep preaching because my voice would never hold up to preaching three times a week. They said I could never do that. You know what, church? I believe a doctor tells you something, y'all do what he says, so I never preached three times. It was five, six, seven. Glory. And I was preaching without a microphone. He said, he's doing pretty good for a fellow that's supposed to be able to preach because I'm knocking the back door out of the place. I don't worry about what's going to happen if my voice box blows out tomorrow. I'm going to get me up typewriter, start typing, and I'm not going to be in front of you. I'm going to be on the side with a computer, and it's going to be coming out with voices. Amen. Hello? So I said, I'm not coming to hear you. Well, we'll stick somebody up there in a little mood in their mouth. Glory. Come on, church. Yeah. I mean, he used to get so bad that I'd be preaching. I'd look like a Chinese movie. I'd go, and my voice would come out. And I'd see people go, and I'd turn around where they couldn't see my mouth move so they wouldn't know when it was coming out so it wouldn't bother them so bad. And they'd be going, oh, preacher, you need to quit. And I'm like, it don't hurt me. Glory. It's just it don't get out sometimes.
But the truth of the matter is, we can't worry because I've got to be careful for nothing. What does that mean? It means if I sell out to God and I get rid of the things that are bothering me and I get rid of those things that are standing and I understand the consequence of what I'm worried about, then I understand there's nothing to worry about. Why? Because the consequence of serving God is it doesn't matter what happens. He meant thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge in all places. What's he saying? If I sell out to God, I don't have to worry. No matter what's going to happen tomorrow, my life is in his hand. Could you say amen? Oh, glory. That's true victory. Amen. Any of y'all ever read a book that came out years ago called The Satan Seller? You remember the name of Mike Warnke? He was a satanic priest and he got saved. He wrote the book called The Satan Seller. It's an awesome book talking about his transformation to a Christian. And he said, one of the times I went to hear him, he was talking one time, he said, I'm walking across campus. I said, this old boy jumped out and said, hey, you know Jesus? He said, I grabbed him, stuck a pistol in his stomach and said, you fixing to meet him? He said, well, glory to God. He said, I'm looking at this boy going, what? He said, glory to God. He said, I got a gun in your belly. He said, hallelujah. He said, I had to turn him loose. He said, I was a shortcut to where he was wanting to go and I wasn't going to help him no more. Glory. Amen. Church, we've got to realize if we can live that way, we got it made. Number three, cry out to God. Amen. Somebody said, cry out to God. Listen to Psalms 34:6. The poor man cried. The Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. Glory. Amen. Church, can I tell you that we're bad about crying to a lot of people? I've had people come talk to me and say, well, I talked to so-and-so and so-and-so, and they give me a list that long of people they talk to, and then they won't know why they're confused. If you talk to 10 people, they all 10 tell you something different, you ain't never going to get a good answer. Come on, church. Smile. If you talk to God, then God can give you answers. God can do great things. And if we had learned to talk to him as much as we do each other. Why is it getting quiet? I thought some of y'all was happy a while ago, and now you're going, he talking to me? Hey, I'm just talking. Glory. If it hits you, it's because I got a scattergun firing up here. Glory. I'm not particularly aiming at anybody, but if it nails you, maybe you need to listen to what God's trying to tell you. Listen, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. You say, preacher, I got to have answers. The answer is going to come from God. You're not going to find it on a psychiatrist's couch. You're not going to find it in some bottle. You're not going to find it somewhere else. But if you'll call on the name of the Lord, I've got a God that said, I will answer, and I'll show you things you never thought could happen. That's victory. Church, glory, amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't know. You cry out when you're tempted, after you fall, throughout the day, God will hear you when you call. Amen. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I'll answer. While they're yet speaking, I'll hear. Did you hear what he said? When you start forming in your mind what you want to say, God's gonna go, uh-oh, they fixing to talk to me. Glory. Let me warn you about something, church. When you form stuff in your mind you don't want him to hear, if he hears what you want him to hear, don't you think he's hearing what you don't want him to hear? Oh, that's good stuff. So, what are you talking about, preacher? He knows the thought, the intent of the heart. He knows what you're thinking. Come on, church. That's why you need to hang on to that stuff. Understand the consequence. When you start forming something in your mind and thinking, God's going, ooh. Well, God doesn't read our mind. Well, y'all dumb. Sarah laughed in herself, and he turned around and told Abraham, your wife is laughing at us. The Pharisees were making thoughts about him while he was working, and he turned around and said, I perceive what you say in your heart. Hello? And yet we got people think they're going to say something, and God ain't going to know what they were going to say. Come on, church. Amen. You ever get thoughts in your mind, try to figure out where they came from? He is the one that invented that.
It's not mental telepathy. It's God trying to tell you, don't do that. You better not. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Amen. Listen. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy that it cannot hear. My Lord. Church, if we let God loosen our life, he will hear what we're going to say. He'll hear our prayer. He will answer us if we cry out to him. Could you say amen? Well, the next one's easy. Take your thoughts into captivity. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hello? You know what that says? That says I need to control what I'm thinking. Let me share something with you, church. It won't cost you a dime. Do you understand the greatest tool that the devil has to use against this generation? It is his ability to control the mind with music. He riding down the road listening to that song, and next thing you know, that song's in your head. Hello? I'm getting some old folks, yeah, yeah. Well, y'all had y'all's junk just like this generation got their junk. Glory. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ping, pang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I see some of you right now. Y'all remember that. Glory. Back in your day, well, that's some good stuff right there. Glory. Early 70s. What I am is what I am. You, what you are, what? Glory. Hello. We had our stuff too. What really scares me is I think back in the 70s, I knew what that meant. Or do what diddy diddy dum diddy do. Whew, that was some thick stuff right there. Amen. Music controls the heart and the soul of everyone. Somebody say, that me, then you dead. Have you not ever been riding down the road, got the radio on, and suddenly realized you flying because a fast song came on, and without thinking, you pushed the pedal down? You ever notice when you go to the mall, if there's a lot of people in the mall, they got fast music playing through the piped-in music because it speeds you up, and you don't spend as much time looking. Well, I want to get my wife an iPad and put fast songs on it. We go to the mall, we're going to put the earphones on, baby. Glory. Amen. You ever gone in there when there's a lot of people? They put this little slow music on, bores you to death, and people just lope around looking at stuff. That's because music controls us. And Satan was the one that was the creator of music to begin with. And he understands I can do it. How does he do it? Through our thoughts and the inclinations of our heart. And he feeds us junk. And we're sitting there listening to songs, and we don't even know what they're saying. We're just, and we're singing along with them. And next thing you know, we're singing junk.
That's right. That's why I listen to country music.
Country junk. Last night all alone in a bar room.
Well, that's good stuff, ain't it? I mean, you could build real character on that one.
Or my divorce went through today. How about that? You know, I mean, we like these country music singers because every once in a while they'll sing a gospel song and say, look at that, they're Christian. Not if they were singing about being in bed with somebody else's wife the song before. Come on, church. Nod your head.
So, a preacher, what do you listen to?
Bible said, those things that are pure, those things that are honest, those things are of good report. If there be any virtue in them, think on these things. And what's going to happen? He will keep your heart and mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Could you say amen to that, church? What are you talking about? We got to take control of our thought patterns, and we got to think about the word of God, concentrate on God. You say, well, preacher, if I do that, I'm not going to be worth nothing. No, you'll be a child of God, full of the anointing of the Spirit of God, and you'll walk in peace and joy and tranquility and victory like the Bible said you could have. Could you say amen? Amen. Temptation comes like the serpent in the garden saying, oh, you're not going to die. You're going to come like God. He's going to have all this knowledge. And we've got people that believe that no matter what they do, they're not going to die. But do you understand the death that happened to Adam and Eve had nothing to do with dying physically? But they were separated from God because they broke the rule of God. And if we separate ourselves from God, we're dead in our trespasses and in our sins. And that's what we've got to watch. Listen, this is what Paul was dealing with in Romans chapter 7, verse 22. It's going to take a while. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. You know what he's saying? He's saying it's natural for my body to want pleasure. Hello? Don't look at me like somebody, oh, he's going to preach it. Might as well. Some of y'all need to grow up and realize some of your kids know more about things than you think they do. They're learning it from people at school, and it's time they learned it how the Bible says it. There are five major drives in the human body. One of them is for the companionship, love, and sex. That's why it is a tool of the devil to tear you down with. Come on, church. And Paul said, I got members that want to have flesh, and they want to live in the flesh. They want to occupy the flesh. They want to operate. They want to control my mind. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now, church, if you stop right there, you've got a perfect analogy for somebody that can't do anything but commit sin. Because Paul acts like I ain't got no hope. I got nothing to look forward to. And when the monk put the chapter or break in, he left it hanging. Because a lot of people stop there and don't read the next verse, but it was a continual statement. And what he says in the next verse is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free of the laws of sin and death. What did he say? He said, now that I've sold out to God, I control the members instead of the members controlling me. And now, because of God, under the anointing of the Spirit, I can, through his Spirit, control the mind. And whoever controls the mind controls the body. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. See, the mind is an electromagnet that starts everything and makes it work. And it's the impulses from the mind that makes your entire body work. And if the Spirit takes control of your mind and you think the way God thinks, then you're going to think his way all the time. And you'll bring subject your body into the power of the anointing of the Spirit of God. Could you say amen? Oh, preacher, you don't believe that? Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Woo. What's that? Victory. James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away with his own lust and enticed. And then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Thoughts that become desires, which turn into action, which produce habits that become your life. The most dangerous of them is lust, sin, and death, or LSD. Glory. Hello? Amen. Some of y'all caught that. Number five, you think about the omnipresence of God. See, church, God ain't one place and us somewhere else. God's everywhere at all times. Well, how can that be? I have no idea. But I know the Bible says it, and that's all I got to have. Come on, church.
I hear David writing, said, if I take up the wings of the morning and I fly to the uttermost part of the sea, thou art there.
Hello?
Thy right hand lift me up, and thy left hand sustain me. What's he saying? He said, everywhere I go, you're there. You ever read the 29th division of Psalm? I heard the voice of the Lord on the wind. I heard the voice of the Lord on the sea. I heard the voice of the Lord on the river. What's he saying? He said, man, I've been all over the place. Amen. And everywhere I've been, I heard the voice of the Lord. Why? Because God was there. It didn't matter where I was. God was there. What he's trying to say in his own words is, everywhere I go, God's there. I got to tell you something, church. If we realize that God is everywhere, then we understand that we have nothing to fear, because God is with us no matter where we are, no matter what we're into. God is with us. Could you say amen to that, church? Say, what are you talking about? If I'm on a river and I'm trying to drown, I got a God that's with me. If I'm out in the middle of the sea and a boat that's going down, my God is with me. If I'm standing near a flaming fire and they're telling me they're going to throw me in, I don't have to worry, because God will be with me in the fire. He'll bring me through the valley. He'll take me through the flood. He'll bring me through every trial, tribulation. Why? Because my God is with me. Hallelujah. And let me throw this at you, won't cost you nothing, but Satan is not omnipresent. So, folks, if you come to church next Sunday morning comparing who fought the biggest devil, realize none of you probably ever met the devil himself anyway. Glory. Hello? Don't look at me with that shocked look on your face. Satan always mimics the kingdom of God. God always sends emissaries unless it's absolutely necessary for him to show up. So Satan sends little demons to your house, messes you up. Come on, church. Sometimes it ain't the devil at all. It's you. If you didn't change oil in your car, the devil didn't blow your motor up. You did. If you miss your mouth with that last shot of coffee and have to go change clothes or late for church, the devil didn't make you late. You the one missed your mouth. I'm headed to church one night, or one Sunday morning, early. I'm in South Alabama. Man, I left that morning about 3:30. I'm headed all the way down near to the Florida state line. I'm boogieing down through there. I got new tires on my car. Guy told me, you can't cut these tires if you want to. I ought not tell a guy that's got way too much time to think. I ride down the road. There's a bottle in the road. I said, you can't cut these tires. I went over the bottle. All of a sudden, the whole right side of my car is leaning down. Between Geneva and Sampson in South Alabama is not a place to test the theory of whether or not you can cut tires. I jacked that car up, got them two tires off, and I'm walking down the road, tiring both on. Dude stopped, picks me up, carried me to the service station. The guy sells me two used tires for almost as much as I paid for that whole set of tires I had on that car. Lord, didn't have a whole lot of choice, because them tires that couldn't be cut was cut. I got back, threw them tires on the car, and I jumped the car. I took off to Sampson. I got down there, and I walked in the church, and this lady was up testifying. Y'all know you heard this. If you've been around Church of God more than 10 years, you've heard this. We're going to have a move of God. The devil's working. Church, what's the devil working got to do with you having a move of God? I didn't know the devil working made God move anything. Hello? But we all believe that the devil's got to be wearing us out before God does anything. Sometimes God moves just because it's his desire. She jumped up. She said, the devil's working. He made that preacher late. I walked up to the pulpit and I said, folks, I'm sorry I'm late, but I need to correct something. The devil didn't make me late. I was an idiot, run over a bottle and cut them two tires. Glory. And I said, last time I looked, I ain't the devil. Hello? I could have sat there and let him have credit for it, but I don't want him. I don't want to worship him. Oh, that's good preaching. I'm hurrying. I mean, we're at number 5. I could preach on victorious. I got a couple more points.
Psalms 139:2. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Hello? Now, this one's important. Number 6, rely on Scripture. Church, do you realize the reason you need to read your Bible is so when you don't have your Bible in your hand, God can still talk to you? I had a guy tell me one day, said, God don't ever talk to me. I said, could it be that you've closed his mouth? Because God speaks to us through his word. Read Hebrews. God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spake to us in times past by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken to us through his son. Who is his son? The word. So God speaks to us through the word. Well, you want God to speak to you in the minute of trouble. If you've not hid the word in your heart, it can't do it. But if you rely on scriptures, there's victory. Listen, Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. Psalms 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 1:1, blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and standeth in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate both day and night. What's going to happen? He is going to be like a tree that is planted by the river of water that's going to bring forth fruit in its due season. What are you saying? I'm saying if we've got the word of God hidden down in our heart, it becomes a light under our path. We don't have to worry about where we're headed, because the word of God will take us in the right direction. We can think the word and have the word in us. And let me tell you something, when the devil comes against you and knocks on your door and you open the door and he said, hey, look at him and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world, and let him understand I've got God in me and his power in me, and because he has overcome the world, I have overcome you. Glory. Glory. John 1:8, for this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Meditate in it. Chew it. Put it in your head. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will in all temptations make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The Bible is a sword. It's an offensive weapon. It's used to defend yourself, to fight your battles. Hello? When Jesus was attacked in the wilderness by Satan, isn't it amazing that every time Satan attempted him, he turned around and said, it is written. You know why he did that? Because he's saying the very thing I used to fight him is the tool you can use to fight him. Hello? Glory. Oh, that's good preaching. I'm moving on. Glory. Some of y'all's lost the victory just listening. Number 7, yield to the Spirit. If you're vigilant and you keep your imagination going in the presence of God and the power of God. Amen. You imagine and think about the consequence. Cry out to God. Take thoughts into captivity. Believe in the omnipresence of God. Rely on Scripture and yield to the Spirit. You can have victory. Romans 8:13, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. Hello? John 16, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Whatever God says to do, we'll obey it, in order to have the power over sin in the world. And if we do put ourselves under his care and submit ourselves to his Spirit, then we can say as Paul, now thanks be unto God, because he hath given us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? The true victory of God, who when you get up in the morning and you ain't got to figure out, what did I do yesterday? Come on, church. Any of y'all remember those days when you woke up and you're going, what did I do yesterday? This may not be some of y'all, but I remember when I used to find out it was several days. Hello? I don't worry like that anymore. I go to bed at night, and I lay down and go to sleep, and I'm not worried about what's going to happen between the time I go to sleep and the time I wake up, because I know God is taking care of me. When I ride down the road, I don't think of the possibility of a wreck, because I know God's taking care of me. Say, well, you don't think you're going to have a wreck? That's not impossible. But, hey, I got the victory either way it goes. Hello? Why? Because God's going to take care of the situation. When you have that kind of feeling, you're not worried about tomorrow or the next day. And that, my friend, is real victory. It's when I have a peace that's unperturbed by the things of this world. When it doesn't matter what tomorrow brings or the next day brings, because I know in Him I live and move and have my being, and by Him I am a conqueror. Stand with me all over the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Preacher, you don't get down? Yeah, I get down. There are times I'd get in the car and ride around, and I just sit there and think about all the possibilities of what could go wrong. I'm human, but I always come back. What's the big deal? I ain't supposed to be where I am anyway. And the God that brought me this far is the same God that's got to carry me the rest of the way. Come on, church. Amen. I should have been dead a long time ago. I've been living on borrowed time for years. So why am I worried? Because the God that pulled me out of the fire of hell and set my life upright and gave me another life to live and gave me my life back is the same God that's going to keep me right now. And when I think of that, I understand there's nothing for me to worry about. There's nothing for me to fear, because I've got a God who's already got it made. He goes before me in battle and gives me victory in His power. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You tonight, God, for Your presence. We thank You, God, for Your sweet, sweet love. Holy Spirit of God, I believe You now. Touch Your people. Move on us with Your power. God, give us victory tonight. Give us victory tonight, God, as only You can. Hallelujah. 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 God, have Your way right now in this house.